Pop Culture Pastor.
All right, Cody. Hello. Welcome.
Yes. It's a lovely day here out on the pitch.
Yeah, on the pitch. That's into touch or something. I don't know. I've been watching a lot more soccer lately because my son, my oldest son's into soccer. We go see Sporting KC games, except Sporting KC's not very good so far this year.
You are watching soccer at the capital of soccerdom in the United States.
Well, it doesn't seem like the capital now because we gave up 4 goals to one dude that played for Seattle last night.
Oof.
Yeah.
Where was Johnny Russell when you need him?
He's just coming back from injury. That's been part of the problem. Y'all didn't know you were going to tune in and hear some soccer commentary, some MLS.
You're welcome.
This is Pop Culture Pastor, and this is our watch-alongs pod. And we've been watching Ted Lasso, which means, yeah, we might talk a little bit about soccer sometimes.
Teddy Lasso.
But I'm really learning to love soccer. I love it. I always liked the World Cup and we'd get into that, but I'm learning to really follow Sporting KC and kind of get into our professional soccer we have here in the States.
I really loved FIFA on the N64.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked playing. There was a World Cup game I really enjoyed playing. The one in South Africa. I played that one a lot on the old PlayStation.
And then I'd do the exhibition mode and play indoor soccer.
Indoor soccer?
Yeah.
Did they have like the smaller field and all that?
Well, it was a basketball court that you were playing on. And
interesting.
Like there was walls, so then the ball would bounce in random spots. It was cool.
All right. Okay. So we're here, minus that soccer aside stuff. We're here to talk about Ted Lasso Episode 2. Cody, broadly on the episode, what we have here are some, like, basically, we could say this about every episode of Ted Lasso, I think, minus like the season openers, the season finales, because this show is essentially about relationships.
It is.
Human relationships. And they do such a good job of it that really we could kind of just focus on the relationships that are played on in this episode. Because what we don't get in this episode is any Nate.
Kick rocks, Nate.
Nate is not a part of this episode at all. But what we do get are three distinct main parts of the storyline in this episode. They have to do with Rebecca / Rupert, Jamie / a mystery thing, which we will get into later, but it's there. Roy and Keeley, of course, and Roy and Trent actually have kind of a storyline that goes through this episode.
And I will say Ted also has one that's playing in the background that I think will explode by midway through the season.
Yeah, he's definitely like, there's a side, he's more of a side character in this episode, is Ted Lasso. But yeah, you get the feeling, yeah, that something's going to go on with Ted's life, which of course it would. But yeah, so it all plays in this episode where there's a big recruiting war going on among all the Premier League teams for this apparently incredible soccer player named Zava.
Which reminds me of the MLS actually had this happen.
Oh, who were they bidding for?
Zlatan.
Yeah, okay.
And so, I think that this is a play on that whole situation.
Yes. So is it like Ibrahimovic, Zlatan?
Yeah.
And I don't know how to say his name. But I think they may have modeled the character himself off of that guy.
Because
he looks just like him.
As I'm watching this, and even during the press conference, I'm like, oh my goodness. It's that guy that played for the LA Galaxy. Because they would have him on PTI. Like, I think he did 2 interviews with them, mm-hmm. which they're older guys. And so, like, he's just, like, super full of himself. And, oh, it's lovely.
So what we get are, like, this entire episode of Some kind of deep diving into these relationships we mentioned, all played along the backdrop of this kind of recruiting war going on for Zava, this player named Zava, who is apparently very, very egotistical, but also very, very good. And that's playing out in the background of this episode. All the while, they have their first game. Richmond has their first game and against Chelsea, at Chelsea, so at their pitch, and you know, spoilers, they tie, which is a good thing in soccer. To be on the road and get your 1 point for tying is a good thing, especially when everyone's picked you to finish dead last.
Oh yeah,
so that's a good sign.
Chelsea's a powerhouse; they're going to be top five each year.
Yeah, which leads me to believe that their first game would be this really good result. Leads me to believe that there's trouble ahead.
Eek!
Yeah. But we'll get there. We'll get there when we get to that part. Let's talk about Rebecca and Rupert first. Because in large part, the first two episodes have dealt way more, if they're not really the main focus, they've been a big focus, maybe a bigger focus than I thought we would see here early in the season. But a lot of the first two episodes has been this kind of dynamic between Rebecca and Rupert, and in particular digging into the scars that Rebecca has for her rejection, Rupert's betrayal. And I think that's a big, like, I think betrayal, rejection, you know, betrayal, and how we react to that rejection is a big theme of the season, obviously with Nate and Ted. And, you know, we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But I think the reason we're getting so much Rebecca and Rupert is they're setting us up for something later on to parallel.
Mm.
Yeah. What'd you think about the Rebecca stuff?
So I'm like, Rebecca, you're a smart girl. Why would you go out with him if he was hitting on you with his wife at the bar the first time and then just kept being so persistent? Sounded creepy.
Yeah, but there's interesting, okay, so there's interesting parallels, and she tells this story where basically, yeah, at first it feels super creepy, but as she continues to tell the story and she continues to talk about how Rupert just day after night after night after night would come sit at the bar, talk to her, like there's something about when we feel seen that is very intoxicating to us. And I think maybe, you know, in this part, so she's playing to two things at once here. She's talking about her relationship. She's talking about like illuminating to all of us how somebody, anybody could fall for Rupert, who's played as like evil.
Evil.
But we're also getting this idea of like, hey, you know who else just wanted to be seen and now it's intoxicating him is Nate.
It is.
He's sort of living through this same thing that maybe Rebecca lived through, that you were tempted by the devil, right?
Mm.
Because you felt seen. And so there's an interesting parallel, and I believe there's a lot of foreshadowing and paralleling going on here with Rebecca's story and Rebecca and Rupert's story that are going to come up to play the same kind of feelings, the same kind of beats that, you know, when we get into the Nate Ted stuff, because we really haven't, boy, they just briefly touched on it in that first episode. Ted takes the high road at the end.
Yeah.
And I think eventually here's where I'm predicting. I think eventually that the Rebecca watching how Ted handles Nate's betrayal may be the catalyst for her ultimate forgiveness of Rupert to finally get past Rupert. I know a lot of people just were like, no, Dave, there will be no forgiveness of Rupert. He's the worst.
He is.
But I mean, mostly like when I say forgiveness, I mean, forgiveness it's never for the person you're forgiving. It's for you. It's to let something go, to move on, to not, like, the funny thing is when we wish the worst on people, we want the worst, but we're really only hurting ourselves. See Jonah.
Oh yeah. And I mean, literally, like, you're spending time, effort, and energy thinking about that person.
Yeah.
That it's wasted because it really probably won't change the situation. And in this situation, it drives her to be a gambler, to be Kenny Rogers.
Yeah. Well, and we've seen it affect her in the past. Like, so we've seen her in the last season try to date, where she goes through the gamut of like the whole gamut of emotions where she's, you know, clinging on to someone who's not worth her time. But then at the same time, really, she's not in a position to date anyway because she can't get over Rupert. He still has so much space in her brain that, like, how is she supposed to interact at all? She just can't because she hasn't let go of that yet. And then, and I honestly, I'm always stunned at how smart this show is because I thought they were probably past that storyline, and they're not. They're digging into the Rebecca Rupert stuff here early on in this season.
Well, now that he owns a team and they're in the same league, there's bound to be more interactions and more drumming up of memories and stuff.
Yeah. But honestly, like, even with that story she tells about Rupert, which, you know, still doesn't paint him in the greatest light, as he, in the greatest light, because as you said, he's married when he's hitting on her. But even her being like speaking softly while speaking of him in that fashion, like saying it was romantic, that he won her over like that, that there's this charm that he has. I'm a little surprised because I wonder if this is heading for some sort of forgiveness on her part, which is not the popular cultural place we like to end up on with people who we believe are evil. The cultural thing says, no, we got to see him lose and lose it all.
I'm now thinking of a storyline that like would just be crushing to her, which would be like if he dies like suddenly and she's not able to like, kind of get that closure.
Ted Lasso, like this show's not afraid of the emotionally heart-wrenching storyline. So I wouldn't put anything past them. But
that would be a way out there one, though.
So far, I think I'm pleasantly surprised. And although I shouldn't be because they've proven that they're a good show for this, I'm surprised that it's not just all about Ted and Nate. I just assumed that we would get a lot more Ted and Nate, and we're not. Right now, we're easing into these other relationships. And the next one I want to talk about is Jamie Tart.
Jamie Tart, do.
And specifically, I want to talk about Jamie / Zava.
Zava.
Every time Zava's name is mentioned in this episode, in the around the team, we get a shot of Jamie either like rolling his eyes or having some disdain for the thought of this guy joining their team. And this is really interesting. Did you notice the reactions?
Yeah, even after they announced that they had signed him, like he has a reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of buildup. We see him, like when the whole team's going gaga about it, when Ted says, is this about us and Zava? And they're all like, we're signing Zava. You know, it's like, no. But if that's not what you're talking about, then what are you guys all worked up about? Like that whole, there's a whole scene in the locker room that was hilarious, by the way. But even in that, you can see he's not talking loud enough to actually be heard in that scene. But you can see he's like, why do we need Zava?
Yeah.
And this is really interesting because, okay, so I don't know if I've ever said this on the pod, but I've coached. I've done a fair amount of coaching, middle school, high school sports. And I've been around a lot. I've been around my share of sports teams. And like, here's what I want to say. The adding of a high profile talent to a locker room that's already in a good place almost never works out.
So when they were pursuing him, they identified, A, we don't have the capital to sign them.
Mm-hmm.
B, like at most is he'll work for 2 years and then you got to move on from him. And I'm like, they have a cohesive unit right now.
Mm-hmm.
It might completely destroy the locker room, and then you're back being relegated and you're poopay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what happens. And we've actually, you actually see this play out in real sports. There have been times when good teams have added a high profile free agent in many sports, and then it didn't work out the way they wanted to. They struggled. The locker room's not as cohesive. They're not as together, and that's bad news. And this literally happens all the time. So you can kind of see where they're going with this storyline. I also think it's interesting. I didn't bring this up in the Rebecca Rupert stuff, but Rebecca does, in order to get Zava, plays a Rupert card.
She does.
She walks into the restroom that he's urinating in and just gets inside his head. Like, totally messes with his head. Says, you're not worth the money. You're overrated. Like, playing on this fact to convince him.
You eat too much asparagus.
Yeah. She's pulling the anti-Kevin Durant, if you will. If you get that reference, you know what I'm talking about. But instead of, you're going to go to an already good team and go win a prize, that doesn't prove anything. Like, a real someone who wasn't a coward would go to a team that could, where he'd actually make the biggest difference. And that, in that way, show people how good you are. So she goes in and does this very Rupert thing, which I think is very interesting about, you know, that dynamic, since we just said she can't really get over him. And here it's, she's doing something mildly questionable, although it's not a bad thing, but it may be something Rupert would do.
Yeah, and if going all in on this guy destroys their season, then it was like the complete opposite of what she wants, and Rupert will get the edge because it is subtraction by addition.
Surely we don't think he's going to destroy the team. Like, one of two things is going to happen, right? Because this has to end happy, right? They don't get relegated at the end of this season. You don't think that, do you?
Like, are you wanting me to give you my prediction for the season?
No, I mean,
because I have a prediction for the season.
Just the team wise.
Team wise, Ted's gone. Nate takes over.
Nate takes over Richmond.
Yeah.
Okay. But so there, you believe in a Nate redemption arc.
I do believe in a Nate redemption arc.
Yeah, we're on the same side. I just don't see the team going down the hole, right? Because they've already done that. They've already done the season where they got relegated and then they came back, right?
Honestly, they could go on a huge winning streak, and it just really upsets Jamie.
It could. It just seems counterintuitive to Jamie's arc from last season. So let me get specific on what I'm talking about here. Jamie's turnaround, his character arc, his redemption gives him this specific perspective on how an unruly ego can kind of tarnish the community of the locker room. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where his misgivings are coming from when it comes to Zava. And so I think what's going to happen is either Zava's not going to be there very long,
which is quite possible.
Yeah. Or Zava's somehow going to be won over by either Ted, which would be the obvious choice, but maybe, just maybe, Jamie. Maybe Jamie's the guy. Maybe he goes through a little mini arc of hating him at first, but then seeing himself in him and being like, talking this dude down to being a part of the team.
That'd be nice.
We're just here for all the redemption arcs.
I feel it would have to be Jamie and Roy together.
Yeah. Roy could be a big part of that, though, because Roy goes through his own little arc. Should we talk about that?
Sure.
Let's talk about Roy and Trent Krim, formerly of The Independent.
Yes. Who's writing a book?
So, first of all, it's great to see Trent Krim back in the show. I didn't. That was a shock. I didn't know we were going to get more Trent Krim, but I'm here for it. That dude, I don't know if that guy really talks that way in real life, but in my mind, he does.
Why wouldn't he?
So he comes in. He wants to write a book. He wants to follow the team around for a season and write a book, which is cool. That's cool. He clearly has a respect for Ted that he gained over the course of the last couple seasons and is genuinely curious about Ted Lasso and the effect he has on people. So Trent Crim comes in. He wants to write a book on the team. You'd think everybody would be like, oh, that's kind of cool. Great. Roy's not on board. Roy, not having it.
If Roy isn't on board, the team's not on board.
Because he threatens them.
Yes.
He says, anybody talks to this guy, he says something about headbutting through their forehead. in Roy Kent fashion. And it's a very interesting dynamic because anytime Trent's around, everyone kind of awkwardly shuts up. And you're like, oh, this guy ain't going to be able to write a book. But luckily for Trent, this little arc, this little storyline between Trent and Roy is a one episode arc. Because at the end of the episode, we get to the reason why Roy is so upset with Trent. Roy takes a newspaper clipping out of his wallet from his rookie season.
Many moons ago.
Oh my goodness. When he was apparently just decimated by a young writing Trent Crim, who just eviscerated him in this article. And Roy kept that in his wallet. Now, look, the imagery of that, and we just talked about Rebecca and Rupert, how not forgive, the holding on to that and not allowing yourself to forgive someone, what it does to you. Here we have Roy holding on to a newspaper clipping from what are we thinking, 20 years?
Maybe. At least 15.
I don't remember the timeline. But like, and Roy says it, he's like, this was like, this destroyed me as a 17-year-old. It destroyed me.
So I'll say, like, him carrying that in his wallet may be the most realistic thing in the whole show.
Yeah.
Because several of like your great talented athletes are like, who do you think you are, jabroni? And I'm going to prove them wrong. And so they use it kind of as a motivational thing. And some of them will admit later on that, like, oh, I was really stung by that critique or that review. And then others will say, nope, I just needed something to keep on keeping on.
But it's a great commentary on anger and what it does for us, right? So, like, we're pastors, so sometimes we talk about the Bible. The Bible says anger is not a sin.
This is true.
That it's not a sin. So it's okay to feel anger, but it also tells you get rid of it as soon as you can, because there's something in anger that doesn't help us flourish. It doesn't, over time, it is not going to serve us. And so in sports, we see like Jordan, Michael Jordan, the famous story is he got cut from his high school basketball team. And he used that sort of, he took it as a slight and he used that. And basically, that was his whole career. He kept getting better because eventually, as we learn in that documentary about Jordan, he makes up slights.
Oh, yeah, because there was, like, supposedly this article written about how this kid for the Washington Bullets at the time, now Wizards, was going to be better than he was. And then they played him back-to-back nights, and Jordan just goes off each night. And it's like, I don't even know who this guy is, and I watch basketball.
And the point was that Jordan used the anger from getting slighted to become the player he was. So bringing it back to Roy, we can assume that Trent Crim had a hand in Roy Kent being Roy Kent, that he used that. He's got it in his wallet.
that he is Superman because of Trent.
And this is what's really cool about this episode. Because as he's telling Trent this, Trent basically says, and I can't remember the exact wording he uses, but Trent says, I was a dumb kid trying to make a name for myself. And I wrote a bad article. Like he basically says, I was young, dumb, and stupid. And like, this is the thing about forgiveness. This was amazing, this scene. Because if we go back to Rupert and Rebecca, there are reasons why Rupert is Rupert, because he's broken and he was probably broken in certain ways. And in this little parallel, this little aside between Roy and Trent, we see that, yeah, in Roy's mind, Trent was evil. Until we hear Trent's part where he's like, I was young and stupid and I was trying to make a name for myself. And yeah, basically he apologizes. And Roy, what happens? Roy rips up that newspaper clipping, throws it away. It was a beautiful little allegory in the middle of this episode.
It was. And especially since I do think that, like, even that article wasn't the full reason why Roy went, like, fully ballistic on Trent.
No. And that's a great segue, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Roy and Keeley.
Oh, Roy and Keeley.
This is so hilarious. The continued moving forward of their relationship where when the goal isn't love. This, like, listen, I could do a sermon to the youth group on Roy and Keeley's relationship and how ridiculous it is. So this whole story is a commentary on love. Why do we date? What is it for? What's it really about? Because the idea, what we're being faced with, it should be on the surface. You might say, well, this is ridiculous. Why would they break up if they don't have time? Just because they don't have time. They're busy. Like, yeah. Tell me you don't know people that have broken up for things like that.
I have known many that have broken up for far less.
Like, yeah, this is dumb stuff because we get signs from both of them that they still like each other. They still care each other. Look, Roy tells this whole story to Ted about how when he left Chelsea, he wished he would have stayed. He left basically because he felt like he was less of a player and because he felt like he didn't belong there. But then he said, I wish I'd have stayed and just had fun. Just relaxed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's clearly talking about his relationship with Keeley at this point. Like, the parallel of that story going on, he's thinking about Keeley. Keeley's thinking about him. She has longing looks when they're chanting his name at Chelsea. And it comes down to this question of, like, yeah, why do we date? Why do we do this? Because we have this faulty reasoning of what love is. We think love is something that happens to us. You fall in love. And Keeley and Roy thought they fell in love. And then when they got busy and had less time for each other, it's like, well, I guess we got to move along. No!
And the thing is, like, when the team begins to find out, before the whole team finds out, Jamie confronts him and Roy basically is like, are you asking just because you want to go back out with her or something? Like, he's ready to throw fisticuffs. And Jamie is, like, constantly trying to say, no, I actually care about you.
I love Jamie in that whole scene where he's like, no, I'm just trying to be not a friend. Like,
I was just going in for a hug.
That actor is great in that scene, by the way. Where he's really like, he's like, I'm not caring about him. I'm asking about you. yeah, that whole scene's great. But, like, the commentary of what they're telling in this story is kind of awesome because Jesus, I hate to do this because, you know, people that listen to this podcast, that they like the pop culture part, but maybe they're not as familiar with the pastor part. But I feel like we got to talk about Jesus for a second because he actually gives you this, like, very subtle definition for what love is, what devotion is. Okay. And it's actually through the context of something completely different. So someone comes up to him in the Bible and says, should I pay taxes? Now he's asking that because Rome is, like, in many Judeans' eyes, they're occupiers. And
they're scumbags.
Yeah. They're basically asking, like, hey, do you owe your money to these people? They're like, should we pay taxes? And Jesus says, whose face is on that money? And it's Caesar's face because it's Roman money, right? That's the money they use now. And that's what they say. They say, well, that's Caesar's on that money. He says, well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Even if you're not into the Bible, you've probably heard that saying. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. What does he mean by saying that? He's saying, give to Caesar the government or whatever the properties and functions and processes and governments of the world. Give them what's theirs. But give God what is his, your devotion. And he's saying something about love. So in the case of Roy and Keeley, you don't have as much time for each other because you're busy at this point of your life, which means when you are around, you give what you got. That's devotion. That's love. Love is an effort through sickness, through health, through better for worse. That's why we say those things. Because you give what you have to give when you can give it.
Slash, in the Bible, I mean, Jesus talks about that those who try to save their life will lose it, and those that are willing to lose their life will gain it. And that, like, oh, these two are both trying to be strong individuals, build their own careers, yada, yada. Well, they're losing out on the couple dynamic.
Yeah.
But if you lose out on the self dynamic, you'll find a better, more hopeful life.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that. What I love about this show is there's a real commentary going on in these stories about real human things. And I love the idea of their storyline being they broke up because they were busy. So, like, think about your parents. I think some parents think, well, if both parents work and they're not around their kids as much as they'd like to be, that makes them bad parents somehow. But that's not true at all. There's lots of people whose dads worked long hours, but they have a respect and love for their dad and know that, you know, they love him deeply. And why? Because when dad was around, he loved them, right?
It's what you do with your time.
It's what you do with the time, right, that you do have.
Which I think this, I don't know if we're ready to move on from this.
We are. Yeah, we're running out of time.
This goes to back to Ted. Because during that talk about Roy staying at Chelsea, you can see Ted have these longing looks and like pains, and it's like, oh, he's thinking about his son. He's not thinking about being here, which they've already teased the ever loving nerd out of in episode one.
Yeah,
that, like, why are we here? Why do we keep doing this? And his passion and his love is not on that side of the pond.
Right. It's what I love about this show. Is this episode, as far as TV goes, nothing really happens. There's no big moment in this episode, but this show is so good at giving us these parallels and these things going on within the relationships that are really telling you a story.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really something in the story. These are the stories Jesus would have told because they're deep, they're meaningful, they have lots of meaning in us for us to glean, and like, this is just good TV. It's just really good storytelling.
It is. And I think there's going to be tears before the season's over.
Oh, I know. But if I get some good redemption, I'm here for it. Cody, who's the winner of this episode?
I'm going to go Roy.
You going to go Roy? I don't have beef with that. I'm going to go with Jamie. I'm going to go with Jamie Tart. I like where this is going with Jamie, where he's going to be the voice of reason somehow. I dig that. And we got a little preview of that with him and Roy.
Yeah.
But Roy's not a bad answer, I don't think, because I think they're doing some deep stuff with Roy.
Indeed.
Who's the loser of the episode? Is there a loser of this episode?
I feel Keeley might be.
Keeley? I weirdly feel like they're missing the mark with her character. Although there was a little forward movement with like her employees,
And also, so she brought on that friend, but the friend clearly knows more about the business than Keeley does.
Yeah. I just don't know why we're there. That's the only part where I'm like, why are we spending time in this arena with Keeley?
Because Keeley's going to have it all pulled out from underneath her.
Oh, no. Don't give us this just to have the rug pulled out.
Or she's going to completely transform this group of jabronis that, like, a wild weekend for them's collecting snow globes.
Yeah.
To people that enjoy picnics and flowers.
It is mildly hilarious how opposite her staff is than her.
Oh yeah.
Like how like they appear like scared of fun.
Hey, I get it.
How many visors out of 10 did this episode get for you?
I'll go a solid 7.
Yeah. I was thinking 8 just because I dig these episodes. I think they're great. I think they're good stuff. The story moves, a lot of deep relational stuff, a lot of parallels going on. It's fun to dig into.
Indeed.
Looking forward to more Nate, though. I want to see what's going on with Nate.
I just want more Coach Beard.
Coach Beard wins every episode, if we're being honest.
If he's in it, he's winning it.
Side note, I laughed the hardest when they find out Roy left Keeley. Roy broke up and he comes back in the room and does that and then Ted passes out. So funny. So good. I love this show and I'm glad that we're doing watch alongs to it. Hey, subscribe to the pod if you haven't already. Give us a good review and definitely keep listening for watch alongs with Ted Lasso. They drop every Monday. So we'll see you next Monday with episode 3.
Trois, as the kids say.
The French kids, apparently.
Yes.
See you next week.